change is pain, and you can look on at something happening at the heart of the government and say, well, may they die a slow death. But I can tell you, we feel the pain too. And it's not just referred pain. It's real. It's real. And as I asked at the beginning of the show, how are you feeling? And I continue to ask that because, you know, I feel unsettled, anxious. There's a lot on my mind. But what we can do at the very least is at least tell you what's happening. Tsidi Madia has just stepped in, EWN politics editor, just to reintroduce her. So Tsidi, we have an NEC meeting tomorrow. Not today. That change opens up a wider window for anything President Cyril Ramaphosa might do. My sense we got from you earlier is that whatever he does and says, he would want to be able to do that before the NEC meets. So what's happening with him now? Do you have any clue at all?
Good afternoon again, John. What I'm hearing is he is still with a lot of his trusted allies at 10 Hays in Cape Town. I've heard from some from his team in the presidency saying that they remain on standby. Many not sure what time that address will happen. Others speculating that it will be in a few hours' time. So definitely not during your window, John, but that he will speak at some point. It's just a waiting game from people on that end. But in terms of the people inside, I think it does feel that the conversation has moved on to what the way forward is. So at some point, the conversation was about what to do. And the feeling that I'm starting to get now is they are focused on what's the plan ahead. And that is quite telling about what might actually come out from the president when he does speak to us. Last night, John, I can go back and say they were still fighting to convince him otherwise.
Yes.
There was a lot of fighting to say this is not the right thing to do. We've heard from people saying that they've seen the faces of some of the leaders who are there and they don't look too happy. So it is a tough conversation all round about what the president does and depending on what he wants to do, the implications for the people in the room, but also for the party and most importantly, the country. I mean, one of the insiders I spoke to kept saying to me, Tsidi, at the end of the day, this cannot be about him, nor can it be about the ANC and its diplomacy. And I found that interesting because in watching Cyril Ramaphosa over the years, I've often criticized him for putting ANC diplomacy ahead of national interest. So having an insider say to me today, what is important is that we have a stable country. That's what matters to us. And so whatever decisions we make, we've got to do that with that in mind. So those are the conversations that I think are happening, is what is best for South Africa. And I think, again, Ramaphosa has represented a particular narrative about what his vision for the ANC is and what the ANC could possibly be again one day, which we all sit there and think, geez, that's a long shot. It's pretty much where it is, and it will go down from where it is in terms of values at the moment. But Cyril Ramaphosa does have an opportunity today to try and take action that speaks to the ANC that he's always spoken of, that speaks to ANC leaders who fall on their swords when they are wrong. So there are difficult conversations also because, again, the people in the room with him are people whose careers depend on him being at the helm.
So, I mean, Tsidi, I'm sure you'll agree that when if people hear leading ANC members saying, well, our priority is to do what's right for the country, many members of the public would be forgiven for a dry laugh because they certainly haven't done that in the past. And that's part of the longer timeline of the conversation that we're having now. But let me ask you this about the president. Should he resign? Let me preface it with a short one. Is there every indication now that that's his intention? Of course, there can be U-turns. We've seen a few, and I know you're smiling.
Yeah, because it doesn't...
You used to say to me, a week is a long time in politics. I think you've shortened it now to 30 minutes, and I see you checking your phone.
Because there's something that's coming in.
Yes.
It's just about the NEC, it's just about tomorrow's NEC.
All right. Well, you'll let us know.
It's going to happen in the afternoon at 2 o'clock. But, John, I do say a day in politics is a very long time. It's very hard to call.
Okay.
It's very hard to... I'm not
weary. Still up for grabs then.
I think anything is possible.
Oh my
anything
goodness.
Is possible.
All right.
And that's the difficulty of politics, John.
Okay. So let me go on to my question. If he were to resign, is he resigning because he thinks he did wrong? In which case, the logical question would be, well, why didn't you just fess up early on and deal with it before this pot boiled and boiled and boiled for as long as it has? Or is he resigning because he's kind of had enough of this and does not want to sit through what would be, I would assume, an incredibly bruising impeachment inquiry should that come.
I rule out the first one about the resignation. Is it because he didn't know better in terms of his cluelessness or what he understood, yes, about his role? Cyril Ramaphosa is a qualified lawyer.
Yes.
I don't understand how a lawyer doesn't understand the terms and conditions of the job. So I can't accept that. I struggle to accept him saying, trust me to the nation, just wait and see.
Yes.
I felt that there was a problem with that kind of messaging. I think there's a problem where he went to Limpopo immediately after those allegations came out, John, going to an ANC conference in Limpopo, and we all stood there asking all these questions and he had no answers. I found that very difficult to manage,
yes,
and to navigate. And so that's part of the problem for me, is that he stood there saying he's innocent, knowing very well what the rules are and where he's transgressed the rules. Because I think there's clear violations and conflicts as far as the constitution's expectations and dictations about his job. So I have an issue with that on the one side. But in terms of your second shot at it, asking, is it about just being tired and being weary of a bruising battle? I think that's a fair assessment. In fact, some of the people in the ANC who are talking about him jumping have referred to him as a coward. I've heard that word coming out quite often today, saying he's a coward, he doesn't have the strength and the stamina to withstand a battle, to stand by his position and to fight and defend it. So there is a back and forth about who he is, but you've got other people who are saying he's not a coward, he's actually doing what is best, again, for the country and for himself. That, again, earlier I said to you, he's taken quite a bruising in that office,
yes,
and that I can recognize. I think we can all see it. Franz Baleni saying to me previously, there's no other president who's taken the amount of criticism, vocal criticism, from within the party in the public space as much as Cyril Ramaphosa. So I do think that I recognize as a human being this wear and tear and frustration, and you also don't have trust in your own comrades, and you don't know if this goes to a secret ballot, which,
yes,
is what people want. Do you have comrades in the room who you can trust to protect your image and who you are in your position? And I think no leader actually wants to be impeached. Jacob Zuma jumped at the very last minute,
yes,
with,
yes,
a threat in the air as well.
Yeah, and I suppose just finally, I mean, you talk about the attacks he came under. One criticism that was leveled at him, and it is paradoxical that you say he found this so draining and bruising, but I've heard the criticism that he should have been much more ruthless from the get-go and decided, yes, yes, there's the unity of the ANC, but he seemed to translate it into the unity of ANC leadership, whereas perhaps more expediently and strategically and wisely, he should have said, I'll build the unity of the party at the base, but I know you're my enemy and I'm going to move you out, and I'm going to do it decisively, politely, but decisively.
I think he didn't even owe them.
Is that a fair criticism?
Absolutely. John, he didn't even owe them politeness.
Yes.
You know, one of the biggest criticisms from within the party and people who were on his side, mind,
yes,
you, was ANC presidents, good or bad, are decisive.
Yes.
And they felt that here we are with a leader who cannot get to the point. Again, people in his corner say, but he's a process man. He's never been against taking decisive steps in dealing with anything. He takes his time in finding the target and then he'll do something. But the country itself, the level of impatience we have as a country with the president,
yes,
in dealing with key issues that we face every day speaks to the frustrations people feel internally, John. There's an issue around unity as well. I think the first mistake Ramaphosa made, in the public domain at least, in my eyes, was that first cabinet that he had when he came on in 2018, where he had people who were his enemies, well-known enemies, opponents, critics, in his cabinet. That was a mistake when you try and accommodate those people. And as the saying goes, when you kill a king, you kill his sons too.
Yes.
You don't keep his sons with you and think that you will thrive at the throne throughout the tenure. You don't do that. And so he's made a lot of mistakes in the name of unity.
Tidi, my dear, it's halfway through a long day. Thank you so much, because there's still so much that can still happen. EWN political editor. Stay tuned, Bruce. I'm sure we'll cross to if needs. And Aubrey Masango, 8 to 12, is going to be right on top of the story as well. Let's get traffic.